Right on, right on. Well, first question, how many of you like to score? I do. I've been known to score a little bit. This is our Serenity Church retreat. It's in October. The next one's in October. So y'all, it fills up pretty quick. So you guys get with Jesslyn or Logan, and they'll get you signed up and get you all lined up on going on that. The very first thing we're going to do is we're going to pass these baskets. I got some guys, Travis is on it. I got some guys that are going to send this these baskets through the church. And not only does this money support Serenity Church, but we just had a board meeting and we decided that part of what we're tithing is going to go to some other ministries as well. And this church here, First Christian, has a sober living home. I didn't even know that until recently. And so we're going to give a portion to them. We're going to give a portion to the Oxford House. We're going to give, obviously, a portion to Shipwrights to do what they do. And then Maranatha Ministries we had already been supporting. So your money's being spread out amongst us all. And we appreciate you throwing your entire wallet in there if you could. Thank you. Whole entire month, how I pick these sermon topics is I pray about it, obviously, and then I wait and I listen, I wait and I listen, and they're picked a month or to 3 months in advance, and during that time I can look back if it's a topic or a meeting topic or a sermon topic that has come to me several months prior to us preaching that month. I look back and I think, what was going on with me in that month? What was God trying to tell me? And this whole month we've been talking about obedience. And I'm kind of like Jesslyn and Aunt Lori, who have already brought the message. This doesn't give me, as Jesslyn says, the warm fuzzy feelings when I hear the word obedience. When I heard God say, y'all need to talk about obedience for next month, I was like, man, Lord, you know who you're working with. And I'm a rule breaker, to say the least. You know, if there's a rule to be broken, I'm going to try to break it. Tell me not to do something. Just try. You know, and so that's how I've lived my life forever. And so this word obedience was kind of hard for me to settle into. For a long time, I felt like everything that was fun or gave me some sort of rush was a do not do that. Don't do that. A rule. And so maybe that comes from my Old Testament Sunday school Bible classes. The title of this message is Do and Do Not. She pulled that up and made that slide last night, and I was like, well, can't you get Ruth? But see, Ruth would go ahead and eat that. She's not a rule follower. She's pretty good. She's pretty good. But you put food in front of her, and everything changes. And I'm kind of the same way. If I have that temptation in front of me, that rule might just go out the window. Yes. And it's a struggle. The whole thing starts, all these rules, and I talked about how my Old Testament Sunday school, the denomination I grew up in, we had Sunday school every Sunday before church, and growing up, and even at my grandmother's house when they read these Old Testament Bible stories to me, of course it started out in the garden. And the devil tempting Eve. See, Genesis 2:17, it says, do not eat that fruit. Do not. And of course, anytime that our enemy hears the word do not, he says, let's see if we can get you to do that. And that's just what he does with Eve. He tempts her and tells her it's going to be great. And this thing is so good and it'll be good for you. And then what Eve does is, what all women do is drag their old man into it. No. I said that for her benefit. They got ways to make us do things. So, and that's where it all starts. See, she did that thing that God said, do not do. And what'd she get for it? Death. Death. See, before that, they had it made. They were going to live forever, not have to work or slave, and not have pain and childbirth and all that stuff that we have to do now. Thank God I don't have to have pain and childbirth. They do, but we're responsible for not sinning at this point. Do not eat that fruit. And she did. And then there was death. It entered the world. Then in Exodus 20, God comes down with the 10 do's and do nots. The 10 commandments. The do not have any other gods. Do not have any idols. Do not use his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath. Honor your parents. Do not disobey your parents. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Don't want after other people's stuff. The Ten Commandments. And after these were delivered to the Israelites in Exodus 20:19, here's what happened. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But don't tell God to speak to us, or we'll die. The Ten Commandments put the fear of God into them. And then you go to the next book of Leviticus, and it's just a pure book of laws. That's just exactly what it is. Matter of fact, y'all know me. Let's Google it. What is Leviticus? In Leviticus, it says the book primarily details the ceremonial and social laws intended to guide the Levites, the priestly tribe of the ancient Israels. See, in the first five books of the Bible, there's 613 commandments. 613, do this, don't do that. How do you keep up with all that? You didn't. See, I said, look, I wanted to know what that breakdown was in the do's and do nots, and there was 248 positive commandments. But there was 365 negative commandments. The 365 do nots. You wake up and count on you do not do something today. So what happened if you didn't obey God's command? See, this brings me to the story in Genesis 19 where God tells Lot to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was the city. Las Vegas has the nickname Sin City. Let's just put it like that. The city had been overrun with sin. There was a lot going on there. God said, find me a few righteous people, and they couldn't be found in that city. So he told Lot, gather up your family and get the heck out of Sodom and Gomorrah, because I'm destroying this city, this sinful city. I'm going to rain fire down on this city and destroy it all and the people who live in it, because they're so sinful, they don't understand the do's and do nots, or they just don't care. And so he said, I'm going to destroy this city. In verse 17, I want to read this to you. It says, run for your lives. Whew. Run for your lives. Don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Run to the mountains. or you will be destroyed. This is his message to Lot, the family he's going to save. This is God's message to the family he's going to save. Run for your life. And don't look back. Do not look back. What happens again? What happens if you disobey God? Verse 26. They ran. And at that point, Lot's wife looked back. When she did, she became a pillar of salt. Now, I'm 8 years old. I'm in this class. And I'm being told the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And finding just a few righteous people, one family, and they leave. And God said, don't look back at this city that you lived in for a period of time and had friends there, had acquaintances there, did business there. When you leave this city, run as fast as you can to the mountains and do not look back. And the man's wife looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. I'm 8 years old. I'm going, just for looking back? All she did was look back. She didn't do anything disrespectful. Well, maybe disrespectful. He told her not to. But for looking back at the city that... So when I first came into recovery, we moved to the colony, and we would go back home to visit my parents and family and whatnot. And I didn't even want to go through the town because there was so many places that I'd done things and been disobedient to the Lord that it was scary and I didn't like it. I didn't like the feeling it gave me and stuff. And we could not drive down that road without me looking at those things. What the thought went through my mind as this woman ran for her life, that she looked back where she had history and she got killed for it. That's the God that I was out there with. This mean, vengeful, obey me or else God. That's who I had. 2 Samuel 6, the story of Uzzah. The Israelites, they had this thing called the Ark of the Covenant. It was for the sake of the story, it doesn't matter, but it was filled with spiritual things. It covered in gold and had some wings on it and stuff. It was holy. It was a holy box of some sort. I don't know. But it had these gold rings on it. And you could run these bars through these rings. They were never to touch it. Do not touch the ark. Do not touch it. So they had to carry this ark everywhere they went. When they moved from place to place, they had to pick it up and carry it. No matter how far it was, they had to carry it. They could not touch it. They got tired of carrying it one time. And they stuck it on a cart, which they weren't supposed to do to begin with. They got on the cobblestone road or however the road was there, and it started to shift. And our buddy Uzzah was walking along beside the cart. And when it started to shift, it started to slide off, and he put his hands up to stop it, to brace it so it wouldn't fall off. And he was zapped dead on the spot because he touched it. God said, do not touch this. And he touched it. How many things has God told me not to do that I did? Well, with all that being said, are you afraid of God yet? Yes, For me, that's who God was when I was out doing these things. It wasn't another entity who lives in this world. It's his domain, our enemy. I was blaming God for all those things. And it was merely because, a whole lot because of these stories that I heard about God. And I had somebody ask me, just like, man, it might have been yesterday even, why is the Old Testament God so much different than the New Testament God? Why is that? Because I look at the Old Testament God and he didn't take no stuff. You did what he said or else, right? What's the difference between our Old Testament God and our New Testament God? One thing, Jesus. See, I heard all these things growing up and had that misconception who God was. I had the misconception who God was. And so what I heard is, I'm a bad person. I can never be good enough. So why even try? You know, there's a narrow path that I have to stay on, and I can't stay on that narrow path. I'm in the ditch continuously. So what the heck? I'm a lost cause. Thank God for Jesus. Luke 19:10. Here's the difference between our Old Testament God and our New Testament God. Luke 19:10 says, "The Son of Man came to find lost people and save them."
Amen.
I was lost. I was lost, and I could not please my Old Testament God. I could not. And so, what am I to do? What a wretched man I am. What am I to do? Who can save me from this? Thanks be to God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, even Jesus has some do's and do not. And I don't know, I didn't say get you a bulletin, but if you don't have one, would you raise your hand and somebody will get you one? Looks like everybody got one. Awesome. On the inside right-hand side, there's some things, and it's probably already been up there. You should have been writing down, and I missed telling y'all this. But I want you to pay attention to the do and the do nots of Jesus. And see how different they are from the do's and do nots that we just talked about in the Old Testament. See how different these are. Coming from Jesus. The first do. Follow me. Follow me. Luke 14:26, it says, "If anyone comes to me but loves his father, mother, wife, children, brother, or sister, or even life more than me, he cannot be my follower." What he's saying is, put me first. He's not saying don't love these other people, but love me above them all. And if you love him above them all, you're going to love these other people well. If you don't, you're not going to love them very well. Put Jesus at the top of that list of people, places, things. Put him first. The first do, follow me. Jesus, his first do not. And his first do not comes when Jesus is he's in a time of fasting. He's 40 days in the desert, not eating anything. Whew, shoot me in the head. I couldn't do 40 days and not eating nothing. I can't do 3 or 4 hours, really. But Jesus is out there. I struggle with not eating till lunch. And so Jesus is taking this time in the desert, and he's spending 40 days, and our enemy sneaks up on him. Our enemy. And it seems like our enemy works that way, doesn't he? Like in a time where we're down, where maybe we're kind of struggling, you know, and he's just going to come and try to get in there the best he can. And he tells Jesus, you know you have this kind of power. Slap these rocks around right here and make them some bread. You can eat. You don't have to be hungry. You can eat. All you got to do is command it and turn that into bread. And Jesus says, no. I'm not going to do that. Then he tells him, you know who you are. You can't even be killed. Jump off this mountain. Surely the angels will catch you before you hit the ground. I'm not going to do that either. He says, well, then bow down to me, and I'll give you everything. You know, when I first read that, I'm like, our enemy is really dumb. He's talking to the man who owns everything already. I'll give you everything. You can't give me what I already own, right? But Jesus hits him. In Matthew 4:7 says, do not test the Lord your God. Do not test him. To me, that says, do not listen to the devil. Do not listen to the enemy that will whisper these things. That fruit's fine. That's fruit fine. You'll be like God. Doing XYZ, it's okay. You're not going to hurt anybody by doing a little bit of dope. You can have that drink. You can drink like other people now. Whisper those things in our ears and cause us to be off track. And like I said, he'll hit you at your most vulnerable time. This is the time that Jesus was shrinking back and trying to be close to God. And I don't know if you guys have ever even tried to fast, but it tears your body down. Michael Hill did it one time for a long time. And I saw this man, I'm like, dude, you need a sandwich. It's like, you just got skinny and everything. I'm like, boy, I hope you're getting close to God, because if you don't eat something soon, you're going to be real close. So it tears your body down, but that's what it's for, to get you closer to God. And Jesus was out there doing that, and that's when the devil came to tempt him. Do not test the Lord your God. So, does following Jesus mean that all my troubles are going to go away? All my worries. I follow Jesus now. Happy, joyous, and free. I'm good. Yeah, you're going to be happy, joyous, and free. Even in the trouble. Even in the trouble. See, I started thinking about when I went to this part of the message, and I started thinking about when I first came into recovery. I'm so thankful that I found Overcomers. So thankful. Because I believe it was so important for my recovery that we talked about Jesus. I really believe it was vital to my recovery that we talked about Jesus. And I love AA and NA and all the other fellowships, and they're very useful. But I go to these meetings a lot of times, and I see people that they share their troubles. They share the worries. They share the heartaches. They share the pain. And they go, well, but I've not been drinking. Crap, maybe you are too. You know, because you're not happy. And that's the difference that I see in our Overcomers groups and our fellowships, where we invite Jesus into the middle of our crap. We can have troubles. We can have worries. We can have pains. We can have things that keep us up at night that we're praying about, and still be happy. And still know in the end, man, we're going to live forever.
Amen.
Happy, joyous, and free. And I feel for these folks that they're white knuckling it through life because they just can't turn their will and their life over to the care of Jesus. Maybe they have a history like I do of the Old Testament God, and it's scary. I'll never be able to live up to that. John 14, 1, it says, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me." In those times that we're worried, we're staying up at night about things, gosh, we got to trust Him. We got to trust Him and give it over to Him. And it'll be okay. It'll be okay. There's a couple of things I want to talk about right here. The first one is a quick one because I was talking about our Overcomers meetings. And this month, our Overcomers meetings topics have really overflowed into our service, overflowed into our meetings. And the meetings have been about obedience. And last week, we were talking about that. And I shared that it's easy to look in Scripture and it says, do this and don't do that. It's real easy to see that and know what to not do and what to do. It's real easy to see that. But what about the times that God is speaking to you? You feel that He's pushing you to do something out of your comfort zone, that He's asking you to be obedient in some way that it's kind of scary. And you hear it, but you don't do it. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know that you're not being obedient if you don't say it out loud. What happened to me is, I don't know if you guys, a lot of you were here when I did the one-man play. It's an hour and 14 minutes long of memorizing. I didn't want to do it at all. And on our retreat, we played one of my friends, Ryan Hurt. Many of you know him. He's a pastor in Lingleville. He did this, and we watched it, and it's super impactful and all that kind of stuff. But while we were watching it, I could feel and I could hear God saying, "You need to do this at Serenity Church." And I was like, "No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, 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 no. No, I don't. Mm-mm. I ain't no actor. I can't memorize all that stuff. No." In that retreat, there's a time where we take time and listen to God and go off by ourselves, and we write something down. And me and Trina, we're there to serve and stuff, but we participate. And so I just wrote one word down, obedience, because it was weighing on me. And I never thought that Logan was going to call on me to say what I had written down, but I was the first person he called. And I said, obedience. He goes, "Okay, cool, explain." And then at that point, I had to make known to everyone whether I was going to be obedient or not. He pulled his phone out and said, "You're going to do that on December 28th, right? If I say no, I'm being disobedient." I said yes, and I did it. I shared that in that meeting, and I already asked him. Uncle Bill popped up, and he said, "Gosh, dog it, same thing's happening to me." And he said, "What I have to keep remembering is all I have to do is follow and trust. Follow and trust. He's leading me to do something. Follow it. Trust that you're going to get through it. Trust that it's going to be exactly what it's supposed to be no matter what." See, we're in this move. We're going to be moving within the next month, locations. And when I first got the news about us moving, I wanted to get fearful. I wanted to get in control of something. I wanted to contact all the board members of First Christian and be in the middle of all those meetings and how are we going to do this and all that. And that was my first thought. First thought wrong. And so I said, What do I need to do? I need to follow and trust. Follow and trust. If this is where he's leading us to move, if it's the mall, if it's downtown Louisville, if it's Carrollton, if it's anywhere, follow and trust. He is the one that's in control of this. And if he moves us, wherever he moves us, I'm going to follow and trust. Guess what? I hadn't lost a wink of sleep. Not a wink of sleep over it. We've moved several times in the years. I've lost sleep over it before. This time I haven't. Because I chose to follow and trust. It takes practice. For sure it takes practice. Okay. The next do or do not is in the book of Hebrews. And I might step on some toes. Sorry. I wrote this on Monday. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Listen to this. Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and good deeds. You should not stay away from church meetings. You should not stay away from church meetings. Do not miss church meetings, as some of you are doing. But you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. And I've heard John preach this scripture a lot, and I like how he says it. He says, growing up in our Sunday school classes, this was the scripture that is read to tell you that if you miss church, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
And that's not really the case. That's not what this means. If you miss church, you're going to hell. That's not what this is saying. Here's what it's really saying. We have to be together. We have to be together. We have to love on each other. We have to encourage one another. How many of us have been to a campfire? How many of us, I'm going to hit you with something. How many of us have been to a bonfire? I remember some of them. I remember some of them. Okay, something even simpler. We've seen a charcoal barbecue pit. We're going to cook, right? You dump that bag of charcoal in that pit. It's match light. You don't have to use any spray, any fuel. You light that charcoal. It starts firing. It's burning. The bonfire, big bonfire. We used to make big bonfires, trees. And so this is all burning. It's hot. The fire is got some heat. It's bright. And let's just say you reach in there in the barbecue and you pull one of those little coals out and you set right over here. Or you're at the bonfire and you drag one of those logs out of there. You drag one of those logs out of it and you throw it over there and the fire keeps burning. Where all the coals are together, or all the logs and limbs are together for the bonfire or the campfire, those logs keep burning. Those coals keep burning because they're feeding off one another. The heat, the light, the fire is feeding off one another. And if you'll look over here to that log or that charcoal that you've pulled out, it's cool to the touch after a little bit. You can actually pick it up. You can actually grab hold of that log and carry it around because the fire is gone out. And the reason the fire went out is because it was taken away from the meeting. It was taken away from the group. It's not with the group anymore. So the fire went out completely and got cold. Now, the cool thing about fire, charcoals, humans, is if we pick that coal up and put it back into the fire, we can fire that back up. The coals go right back hot. They get hot, they get flame, they get fire, they get hot. They have light, all the things that we need. Do not miss church meetings for this reason. It's not because we need you here for any other reason besides the encouragement. Man, when I come in here and I see these people walk through the door, I get excited. I get excited to be with you. And then when we go to our meetings on Wednesday and Tuesday and Monday and tonight, I can't wait for the meeting tonight because I'm going to hear some people share their experience, strength, and hope and share their light. They're going to share their fire in there. And it's going to get my fire fired up even more. It's going to make my light brighter. I've got to have it. I go on vacation sometimes, and if I'm gone a week, by the time that vacation's over, I'm like, my fire's about out, man. I need to go sit with some people. I need to be relit. It's important. It's important. So important to be here and meet together. So important. The last dude from Jesus, and my man, as I said last time, I like calling Roger up on the last page, play behind me a little bit, sounds cool. The last dude is from Jesus on, it's Luke 22, 19 through 20. It says, then Jesus took some bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the apostles, saying, this is my body, which I am giving for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, Jesus took a cup and said, this is a cup. This cup is the new agreement. New agreement. Thank you, Jesus. New agreement that God makes with his people. Old Testament God, New Testament God. What is the difference? This new agreement. This new agreement that God makes with his people. This new agreement began with my blood, which is poured out for you. I want you to listen. Following Jesus is not do this, don't do that. Following Jesus is done. It's done. It's no longer a rule for me. I want to do these things because of what he did for me. I want to do the next right thing, although I always can't. Will we ever be able to be completely obedient? No. You know how I know that? That we will never, ever be able to be completely, 100% obedient. Because if we were able to do that, there would have been absolutely no reason for him to go to the cross. None. Why do I need to go get nailed on a cross? Just because they don't want to be completely obedient. You can want to be completely obedient. And that's the goal, to want to be. As I said, these are no longer rules for me. These are no longer do's or do nots. It's what I want. I have the desire do what is right. But I can't. What a wretched man I am. Who who will save me? Jesus. Jesus Christ. So tonight, I'm going to ask the guys that I asked to come pray with folks to come on up. And I want you to, we got these shirts here. There's been a few people that had them. My debt's paid. That's what I'm talking about. See, we can't be completely obedient, so there's a price for that. There's a price that has to be paid because we can't be obedient. Jesus did that. He paid the price. My debt's paid, bro. So if you're struggling with any of these things that I talked about, or you just need some prayer, maybe there's some worries, maybe there's some troubles going on. I know all these guys up here, I asked them myself to come up and pray for you. God listens to them. He's listening to you, but sometimes we feel like He's not. So I like to have some other people pray for me sometimes. If you have something on your mind that needs to be lifted up, you don't even have to tell them what it is. Maybe it's something personal. You don't have to say, I've got this, that, X, Y, Z. You can just come up. They're going to pray for you no matter what. So as Roger continues and these guys, how about this crew here? Doing great, ain't they? Great, great music. As they kick off our next worship song, we need some prayer for anything, no matter what it is. Come up and these guys will take care of that for you. God bless you.
Awesome. Why don't we stand and let's worship together. If you need prayer, please feel free to come on up, but let's worship the name of the Lord.